It's HBR1, All Things Considered, member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Dave Lawrence. Today we have a very special guest joining us, guitar player who is from New York and beginning a Hawaii tour. He's at the MAC tonight, Aloha Theater tomorrow, Honoka'a People's Theater on Saturday, and a great pleasure to welcome to the program guitarist Frank Vignola joining us. Hey, Frank.
How you doing? Thank you.
I'm good, man.
For having me on.
Well, good to have you. You're coming through. A lot of people may not be familiar with your name, but would appreciate your music, certainly, and no doubt the legacies that you've been intertwined with. If you can kind of describe who's coming with you and what we're going to be in for.
I'm traveling with another guitar player, Vinny Raniolo, and we play songs over the last 500 years, from Beethoven's Fifth and some Mozart pieces to Gershwin and Irving Berlin and Richard Rodgers, some Beatles, some Ventures, even a Frank Zappa song. It's very audience-friendly. We try to play a lot of songs that people know. We bring our little amps. I have an arch-top acoustic guitar with a floating D'Armin pickup. So it's in that style of the 30s and the 40s style guitars. Artists like Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald and the big bands and Benny Goodman. And I think that's a big part of what we do, is kind of preserve that era of music. You know, working with Les Paul for many years and these old legendary jazz and music figures, they were all about songs and entertaining an audience.
You remember the first time you ran into Les?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I was 19 years old. He had just emerged from retirement, playing in downtown New York City after his records with Chet Atkins. And I heard he was looking for a rhythm guitar player. So a guy who was doing all the radio broadcasts set up an appointment with me. I came down and met Les. We had dinner together. He had me up on stage. We didn't play that night. He called me up on stage, and then he left the stage and had me play with another guitar player. But from that day on, we were dear friends until the day he died. I performed with him for about 5 years. What more can you say? Probably one of the, if not the most influential guitarist of the last 100 years.
Were you working with him at the Iridium?
Yep, I started with him in 2000. He got sick, was out for 6 weeks, and he asked me to fill in for him. And then when he got out of the hospital, he said, why don't you stay on? We'll make it a quartet, three guitars and bass. I said, sure. How can you turn down an opportunity like that? You know, what am I going to say? No.
I know, right? It's one of those, no doubt. That's a funny one, right?
It's like, of course. What do you mean? I've been waiting this opportunity my whole life. That's like God calling and saying, hey, you know, you want to come up to heaven and jam?
You got to kind of make sure you heard it right, huh? You're like, did I hear that
right? Yeah, right, exactly. I tell you, he loved to rehearse. His band was always so tight. I mean, every week we'd rehearse for a good hour and a half at soundcheck, just playing the material, making sure it's tight, all different tempos, concentrating on the sound.
Attention to detail, it sounds like, for sure.
Oh, attention to detail. And I mean, it's just amazing because you can't learn that stuff in a classroom or from a book, or from a video. It's like training, if you're a boxer and training with Muhammad Ali.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the master, and here's the guy right there. Like all the little moves, all the things you can't see from the audience, you know?
Now you get an inside look. It's like the view the understudy has for...
Right.
When it comes to the people who would come to that gig, were there some heavy cats who would stop by?
Every week someone would show up. Whether it was a jazz guy, Larry Carlton, or a rock guy like Slash, or the guy from Journey, the guy from the Black Crowes, jazz guys like Bucky Pizzarelli and Al Caiola. But I got to say, the top guy, and by far the classiest, and he knew every song that we played, was Paul McCartney. And the place just was floored in silence because the great Paul McCartney just walked in, you know, in a tuxedo and sat in the front row, and then later we were hanging out in the dressing room, and Les locked the door, and the guitars came out, and he was singing the Sheik of Araby, and him and Les were telling stories. Really amazing. Being in a situation like that is just, you can't make it up. You know what I mean?
A lot of lessons in that.
Comedians would come in, like Danny DeVito used to frequent, and he'd come up and tell a few jokes, and Danny DeVito is like the Les Paul of comedy. So
what a treat, though, for people who came.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was part of the gig. It's like, who's going to show up this
right.
week, you know?
When I think about some of the cats you're associated with, to get to have a gig with them, to me, it seems like you got to have a pretty well-rounded background. How did you get to know Madonna?
Well, I mean, one good thing about what I do is it's kind of a niche. Madonna was doing a record of 1920 songs, and I was recommended to her to play guitar. So we worked on a record of like I Surrender Dear and all those 1920 songs. It never was released. It was made into a film called The Bloodhounds of Broadway. I've never seen it, actually, but that was how we worked together. And it's just amazing how all of these rock and roll icons have such a love for the great American popular songbook.
That they would go to those lengths to try to...
Go to those lengths. I mean, here's Madonna at the top of her fame, and she wants to, you know, sing I Surrender Dear with a guitar and a bass. It's like, huh?
When I think about that specialization, I guess, in terms of your explanation for how you crossed paths with the material girl, was it that sort of... Was it that same sort of specialization which led to Ringo?
Same thing with Leon Redbone. Ringo and I did a track together on a record. And then we did, the other one was Donald Fagen, Steely Dan. Maybe 1986, 1987. I played every Tuesday or Wednesday night in New York City at this Italian restaurant, jazz club. And almost every week it was like Donald Fagen was there. I was like, this is just so bizarre, you know, and try to talk to him a little bit. Very quiet guy. All of a sudden, a few years later, boom, the phone rings. Hi, it's Donald Fagen. Can you come in the studio tomorrow and put a few tracks on my new song? I was like, yeah, right. You know, almost hang up the phone thinking it's one of your friends. But, you know, again, interested in the archtop guitar style.
Talk about that.
There was the sound of the 1930s and 40s and even 50s and 60s guitar sound before the solid body electric guitar came in, which was Les Paul and rock and roll. So this is kind of pre that style. It's kind of like new old music. That's the way I kind of like to think about it sometimes.
It's guitarist Frank Vignola from New York along with Vinnie Raniola. They are tonight at the Mac, Aloha Theater tomorrow, Honoka'a People's Theater on Saturday. And of course this afternoon here, All Things Considered, HPR. Be safe, brother. Thanks.
Good.
Again.
Thank you very much, Dave.